Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Thursday, the week before the Super Bowl, not the week of the Super Bowl, the week before the Super Bowl. Normally, Thursdays are what we call hashtag prediction Thursday. Actually, today, it's very simple. We're going to predict how you feel Deflategate's going to turn out. I think that's probably just, you know, about the easiest thing we can talk about because it's still on everybody's mind. It's still on everybody's brain. And whether I like it or not, or whether Eric Scalavino here from PFW likes it or not, or whether you are sick of it or not, it's still out there. And I feel like we probably need to just sort of purge ourselves from this before we can sufficiently move on. And I think today's program is probably going to be good with that. In fact, I would actually tell you that I believe that what Tom Brady will have to say, in just a short while may purge us of a lot of this. And Tom is expected to meet the throng of media that still remains here in Foxborough, as we're here this morning for Bill Belichick's, statements. At approximately 3:45, sometime between 3:45 and 4 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon. We'll carry it live right here inside the playbook. So when that happens, you'll hear it here first, and you can just stay tuned. Or if you need to go away and come back, you can always log back into Patriots.com, and you'll find it here on the homepage. But if you're going to keep the show up and streaming, you'll find it right here as well. So don't go anywhere. In the meantime, Eric, I'll start out by asking you how this thing, your prediction, in other words, how do you think this whole thing is going to turn out, play out? Should it go any more? I mean, I know we're all, at least here, sick of it to death right now.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of created a life of its own self.
I think the NFL needs to come out with one sort of ruling or another, put a definitive end to it, because, A, I think it's become way overblown, and B, it's Super Bowl week. We can't have this dragging on all next week while we're in Arizona.
Can't imagine the league would want that.
No.
But just, that's all anybody's going to talk about during media day.
How much further investigation is necessary? I mean, just come up with a ruling.
Yep.
That's
come up with something.
I don't even know what that could be, whether it's a fine. I don't know. But come up with something. Get it out before both teams arrive in Arizona, so that when we get there next week,
you can concentrate on the game.
Talk about the game.
I agree. Something needs to be said. My own personal, I've heard many local pundits, talk shows, columnists. I mean, Dan Shaughnessy, I don't know if anybody saw the Boston Globe today. He went so far as to say the Patriots' legacy is tarnished forever. That's what he said today. I'm paraphrasing. I don't think I agree with that, because I think we all remember winners and losers. And I think that's ultimately what anybody remembers, and I think that's what I think that the test of time remembers winners and losers. And, of course, I'm sure that Shaughnessy in his inimitable way would come back and say, well, you know, you remember traitors, you know, from the Revolutionary War and all these other – I mean, we remember these characters in life. Why wouldn't we remember this? Well, we remember it because you keep reminding us. And we remember it because haters keep hating. We remember because sometimes good people do dumb things. That's why we remember. We're all human. So what I would suggest to Dan is you know, and for anybody else, and we're going to hear another example of a human maybe making a kind of a mistake here in just a moment and using the Patriots as an example. When at one point in time he was actually arrested for DUI, and I didn't see anybody, you know, casting aspersions his way. I think people kind of took pity on him and said, well, there but for the grace of God go I. So if we're really going to get into this, we're going to get into it a little bit. But at the same time, my thought is that I think that there will be a fine. I don't think that there will be any suspension. I think the whole suspension thing is just absolutely silly because we're, you know, comparing apples to oranges in a lot of ways. But unfortunately, because of the history and because of the track record involved with the Patriots through the years, and because the Patriots keep winning in spite of everything, somebody out there somewhere feels like the Patriots are doing something wrong, that it can't possibly be this good for that long.
Yeah, it doesn't help, certainly.
No. And so in that regard, I think the Patriots sort of created their own problem here. You know,
yeah.
Whether or not you combine the success with the Spygate, with the Tuck rule, with the how about let's go back to 82 and the snowblower game, you know, with the Miami Dolphins,
yeah.
Which is, I'm sure, why Don Shula still hates the Patriots to this day. So, you know, all of these issues, all of these controversial issues that the Patriots have been involved with over the years. Look, you really want an analogy? I'll give you one. Who were the Patriots back in the late 1700s? I'm sure our friends in the UK Patriots Club can help us out with this. Okay, the Patriots were tired of being persecuted, so they pulled out and went on their own, right? And here we go. Now, I'm really not trying to be flip about this, even though it sounds like I am, but that's kind of how I feel, because there's one thing after another, after another, after another, and it's becoming the point where, okay, give me something more than this. If you can really show me where this affects the integrity of the game, I'm all ears, because I'm all for fair play. I want it. But I've also been in a locker room, and I've also put on a jock strap before, and I know what it means to compete and have your teammates all pull together. And I didn't play on the level of these guys. Only in my dreams did any one of us around here play on the level of these guys. But I can tell you the thought process is still the same. We weren't blessed with that physical ability. But mentally, I guarantee you, there are many of us who have played the game at a much lower level, and those of us who participate professionally. It's all competition. You cannot tell me that your job isn't competition. We all compete in one way or another. And because we all compete and we all want to do well and we all want to represent ourselves well, you know, when someone, you know, tries to trash you and bring you down to their level for, you know, something that may have happened, something that we don't have definitive proof, something that we don't know whether or not it actually helped win a game or not, and yet you're still being dragged into the muck, it's not fair. It's not right. But unfortunately, I think we have to prepare ourselves for it, because we are our worst enemy. So I think that, you know, Tom Brady will have something to say in about an hour and a half. Hopefully the NFL has something to say shortly thereafter.
Man, I hope so.
If not before. And we can move on from this. And if there's a fine to pay, you pay it. If there's inconclusive evidence, then say so and let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
If someone has to fall on the sword, time to fall on it. For the better good of all of us, especially the 53 guys in the locker room. Who have nothing to do with this, apparently. Zero. Maybe except one. And we're going to find out to what extent again in about an hour and a half. Any thoughts?
I'm wondering why they decided to make it so late in the day.
Well, he was supposed to be tomorrow. Tom's regular time to talk to the media was tomorrow, but because of this story, they moved him up to this afternoon.
No, but I mean, why so late in the day?
Oh.
All the other players were available at 11:30 this morning.
I don't know. Maybe they figured some people would go away. I don't know. If anything, I think
it's
going to give more people a chance to get here.
Right. I don't understand.
Because you know this will be live on NFL Network. It'll be live on ESPN. It'll be live on Fox. It'll be certainly live right here.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be live on the radio
CNN
stations.
CNN was carrying the Belichick presser this morning.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Cable news network.
Yeah.
You know, where they talk about ISIS and Afghanistan.
And
they've got Bill Belichick's press conference on 2 pounds of air pressure. Just think about that. Let that rattle around in your brain for a minute and tell me how stupid that really sounds.
Yeah, unless somebody can tell me that it had a legitimate impact.
A legitimate impact on the game. Shut, I will use my best Archie Bunker, shut up you. Seriously, consider every athlete or every media member that has come out since the story broke to now, and when they've come out and said, yeah, that's cheating, or yeah, that's wrong, okay? Do a Google search on these folks. Tell me who's pristine, please. I'm begging you. Somebody will do this research. I just thought of this on the way in. Somebody do some research on somebody and see if everybody comes out lily white. They don't.
Of course not.
And the issue here is that everyone has an agenda. Maybe somewhere along the way, you know, somebody didn't like something Tom Brady had to say on the field, or somebody got stiffed by Bill Belichick because they were cut, or who knows what happened. But everything is agenda-driven. And now the media is becoming agenda-driven. Why? Because it's all about getting viewers, and it's all about getting hits to your website, and it's all about getting page clicks, and it's all about me, 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 me. When it's less and less and less about getting the facts straight. I was so disappointed to see some of this crap on SI.com. You know, normally Sports Illustrated is a bastion of media and journalism. And I'm totally crushed by this. They have fallen into the trap of sensationalism like everybody else. We've seen it. You name a publication, I'll guarantee that at some point in time, they've jumped on the board because they have to. Because the industry has sucked them into it. And I don't like it. I don't like it at all. It sours me on the very job that I have to do every day. So in this particular instance, I consider the confines of my job, and my job is as a representative here to talk to Patriots fans, to talk to football fans, and I'm sure there are many that are listening as well today that, you know, hate the Patriots, they just want to hear what we have to say about this, to try to make your own, you know, judgment on it, and that's perfectly fine because it is a free country. So you can do whatever you want to in that regard. I would simply ask, why do you feel the way that you do? I mean, sure, we all want our own team to be better. Keep in mind now that, do I consider myself a fan? Well, of course I do. Because that makes it easier to do your job if you follow along and you're a fan and you root for a team. In this particular venue, we don't root. We try to get to the issues at hand. You know, I've been with this organization for 22 years. I've been doing this program for 14 years. Yeah, I know who pays my paycheck, but I've said this several times, and I'll say it here again now for the newbies today. One of the great things about working in this organization has been the ability to do what we do. Without any, you know, real, you know, you must say this and you must not say that.
No edicts.
There's no edicts. No, right. We've been told by censorship. No one to be censored, to basically cowl our comments.
I wouldn't want to do it.
And I said that on yesterday's show, Eric. I said to everyone who was listening yesterday, I said, look, when we first started this venture 14 years ago, I said, I would love to come on and do that. It sounds like it'd be a blast. However, I need to have the ability to use my journalistic skills and my repertorial skills because I'm not going to be a pom-pom waver.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
And they agreed. And why did they agree? Because they thought it would give legitimacy to what we're doing and fairness to what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So do we have fun from time to time here? Like it's a locker room and a boys club? Oh, of course we do. Do we, you know, wave the pom-poms and Kid Fred all the time? Absolutely we do. Do we also know what the hell we're doing? We absolutely do.
Mm-hmm. And you can trust what we're saying because we say when they're doing badly or doing something badly, and we say when they're doing something right. We don't hold back.
Nope.
We call a spade a spade. That's why you can trust what we say about things.
Yeah.
Or else why I wouldn't do this if I was being told I had to say something
one way
or the other.
Of course not.
How about some good news, John?
Go.
You want some good news? I would love
some good news. Yeah, fire away.
Brian Stork was practicing today.
See, I just knew that somehow that was going to happen. Honestly, one of the reasons why I thought he missed last week's game, and you and I talked about this, was because I think you're going to hold him out for the bigger picture.
And
he was back.
He was out there today, full pads inside the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse. He was there, suited up, had a big wrap around that right knee, extra tape job. But he was out there, not moving obviously 100% yet. But the fact that he's out there at this early stage in the Super Bowl fortnight is a good night. I mean, is a good omen for this.
I think that's great. So that is definitely good news.
And everybody else on the roster was at practice. So you had perfect attendance. Brian Stork was back. And it's the first of four straight days that they're going to practice before they leave for Arizona.
Could very well be then that the Patriots will be as healthy as they have been all year long. Just
as healthy
the big
as
game.
They've ever been for a Super Bowl, possibly.
That's also true. Keep in mind now, you know, the last couple of Super Bowls, this team has really limped into the situation and missed some key pieces to the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
That's a step in the right direction. Can't say that right now about Seattle, although Richard Sherman, who did a conference call yesterday, insists he's going to be ready for the Super Bowl, and I really don't have any doubt that's going to happen.
I don't either, but he might not be 100%.
And same thing with Earl Thomas.
Yeah, right.
And those are two huge pieces to the puzzle defensively for Seattle, without a doubt.
And that's I wanted New England to have – Stork back for, obviously it helps their O-line, but they also would have no excuse going into that game about how, you know, if they lose, they lose. They gave it their best, whatever. You hope that it's not a big turnover game like last week's NFC Championship was. But assuming they go in, they play their best and they lose, they can't say, well, after the fact, you know, Gronk was hurt or Brady was hurt or Revis didn't show up. They have everybody. No excuse.
That's no great. Excuse. And if Seattle beats them, guess what?
If Seattle beats them, good for
Congratulations. To Seattle.
Exactly.
They're not going to beat the Patriots because of any deflated balls. The Patriots aren't going to win because of any deflated balls or anything else that's going on. It's going to be the play on the field.
Right.
And that's why this whole thing gets more ludicrous by the minute that we're having to live through here today and over the last few days.
But I also think it's a huge advantage for New England if they can go into the Super Bowl
healthy.
Yeah. Man, I mean, that's a dream come true. You're going into a Super Bowl with
healthy
all your main guys healthy. And everyone on your roster practicing. I mean, that's incredible.
Yep. Agreed. That is a good step in the right direction. All right. Since he's got to go and take care of things in advance of TB12's visit this afternoon here at about 3:45 Eastern time.
Great way to end the playbook, though, huh?
Yeah, it will be. I think.
That may be why they pushed it from 4 to 3:45.
Children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
I got a few choice words right now, but I probably can't really say them on, the radio. You know, this
profane?
Is the internet. Some of them are.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with, I don't know how we're going to tie this in today, but the word I chose for today is patois.
Patois?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Is there, wait a second, P-A-T-R-I-O-T?
The New England patois?
Yes, the New England patois.
No, P-A-T, though.
Yeah.
O-I-S.
O-I-S,
French,
okay.
French sounding word there.
And it is?
It means it's the dialect. Well, it has a few meanings. The dialect of a certain region, or the sort of the jargon or vernacular that a particular group uses amongst themselves.
Patois.
So you might say that, you know, we joke around a lot. We've developed over the years a certain patois for the playbook.
That's
certain
true.
Things that we say that we joke around about that other people may not really know about.
Good to know. Okay, see, you did just relate.
All right.
We also have a regular emailer, Gabe from Pennsylvania, who always sends in an email afterward.
Usually trying
to use your word of the day.
Well, good.
So I want you to know that clearly he's helped by your...
I'm glad to provide the service.
We all are.
I hope it helps.
We're all very happy and thrilled.
And, we can also tie it into, we have been privy to a lot of the patois about filling the scientific reasons for footballs being
deflated
or
inflated or whatever. I can't even make sense of it anymore.
The esoteric nature of filling up a football with air.
Patois. All right. So what's your next duty? What's your next assignment?
Well, I got to do some writing as soon as I get upstairs because we've got
you're
loads of stuff to do.
I know, and you got to get stuff done
before we leave.
About the game, right? I totally get it. Right.
And I want to try to be done as much of what I have to do today in time for 3:45, so I can be downstairs
and listening to Tom,
seeing what he has to say.
TB12, right?
And then tomorrow we have practice again, and then
when are you guys out of here?
Monday.
Okay, you going with then on the,
going
the,
with the charter.
Team? All right.
Yep.
So are you going to be with us at City Hall Plaza?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to be there for that part of it. But
So you mean I have to hold the fort down for you guys?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you can do it. You can do it, man.
Boston Mayor Marty Walsh is sponsoring a send-off rally for the Patriots and for fans to attend Monday morning at 11 a.m. Boston City Hall Plaza. And yes, I will be hosting the event.
Good man. I believe in you.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for the tomatoes and the eggs and, the darts and everything else.
You're in friendly territory.
You think so?
Yeah.
You sure about that?
I'm pretty sure about
that.
Okay. Yeah.
Will you be my bodyguard?
I'm not going to be there.
That's what I thought. All right, Escal. Thanks,
we'll
buddy.
Talk to you next week at
yes,
some
sir.
Point, man.
Yes, you will. Absolutely. All right. Let's count on it. Thanks. Eric Scalavino, follow him at @E_Scal on Twitter if you don't already. Here's how you get a hold of us on the program, as always. You know this, but I'll repeat it anyway if you're a relative newbie. 855-PATS-500. That's a toll-free telephone number. 855-728-7500 is the number to call. Phone lines are jammed already, so once you hear somebody hang up, that's your cue to call. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Follow me on Twitter. Thank you for all the new Twitter followers. @JRBroadcaster is the Twitter handle. John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, on Facebook. Literally, Kevin, I have welcomed in maybe 30 to 35 new Facebook friends in the last day, which is, you know, for me, that's pretty big. It is my own, as I've said before, I'll say it one more time here, it is my own personal account. I'm welcome, everybody's welcome, but, you know, I do sort of, you know, take liberties from time to time, yes, only because, you know, it's my own personal account. So anything that's questionable is probably going to get deleted. I've never had to delete or defriend anybody because I think that's just kind of like junior high school. But at the same time, you know, just consider, you know, what you post before you do it. And I love talking football at all hours of the day, at all times of the night. So leave a post if you have a question. And trust me, I read it. If I can't get to all of them, I do read them all, just like I do right here on the program. Just like I do right here on the program. I'm that genuine, all right? Now, before we get to the phones, what I wanted to do today is, I just alluded to a short while ago, former athletes, former players, former NFL guys, and even some members of the media who have come out and, shall we say, been critical of Deflategate. And I want you to consider the source when you hear this. I want you to consider also as well, very carefully now, the merits to the argument being made. Because I think we do have to look at this on both sides. First of all, you know, nobody's perfect. And if the Patriots made a mistake here, though, they'll have to own up for it, and I think we know that. But as we talked down so many of you yesterday who sent in all those emails and said, hey, I'm going to burn my jersey. There's no way that I can be a Patriots fan. How do I explain this to my 8-year-old kid? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm not. It's not my place to tell you how to do that. I'm not your child's parent. I've had to parent my own kids. So, you know, and that was hard enough as it was. What I told my kids is that you got to make up, you know, you got to do what you think is right. And so that's how I would leave it. And so in this particular instance, what I want you to do is what's right here. Decide what's right and try to put aside your bias to New England or your bias against New England or your bias toward anybody else. What's the right thing to do here? Consider what this really is, what this story really is about. And, you know, two, you know, absolutely noted journalists in this area who have, you know, written some things, as I just mentioned, one of them, Dan Shaughnessy from The Globe, and there are a couple of others out there. And I don't mean to persecute Dan. I just don't happen to agree with what he said. He's just jumping on to fan the flames is what I think. And he's made a career of doing that for the Boston Globe. And that's fine. That's his shtick. I don't really mind that. I have a choice to either read him or not. That's not exactly what I teach. And many of you know, I actually teach journalism, you know, to my college students at an acclaimed school for communication arts at Emerson College in Boston. So I don't pretend to be the be-all to end-all when it comes to knowing how to be a reporter or how to do your job better or worse than anybody else. I'm just saying, you know, this is the way it should be. And clearly, you know, someone on the faculty there seemed to agree with me. And that's why we do what we do. So this comes from earlier today from NBC on the Today Show. And former Pittsburgh wide receiver Hines Ward was being interviewed, I believe it was by Matt Lauer. Is it Matt Lauer? Yeah, it was Matt Lauer from NBC. I'm going to play this interview, and then I'm going to want your reaction to it. So take a listen.
Right now, Hines Ward won two Super Bowls in his 14-year career with the Pittsburgh Steelers. By the way, he was MVP of Super Bowl 40. He's now a member of NBC's Football Night in America team. Hines, good to see you.
Pleasure.
I've heard people go from this is the mother of all scandals to it's not even worth our breath to talk about it. Some guy said to me it's like driving 61 miles an hour in a 55-mile-per-hour zone. Everybody does it. Where do you fall?
It's cheating. I mean, regardless of how you may want to spin it, it just helps Tom Brady provides a better grip on the football, especially in bad weather conditions like rain. And so you want to deflate the ball because all quarterbacks, you don't have big hands or small hands, but to get a to provide a better grip on the football, you let the air out of the ball.
The game balls were inspected by referees before the game. At halftime, they were found to be underinflated. How did they do it?
Well, from the time period when the referee checks the football, you know, you may get the ball to the ball boy and he lets a little air out of it and Tom Brady feels it. Oh, I like this grip or I like this.
So now you're talking about a conspiracy. You're talking about several people involved. Who would the coach have known?
No, it's probably only Tom Brady and the ball boy, because every week for a quarterback in the NFL, they scuff the football or take that new film off the football because it becomes real slick, but also you want to let the air out of the ball just to have a better grip on it.
So as a receiver, a guy who performed at the highest levels possible, how much of an advantage would it have been to you trying to catch a ball?
Well, I, you know, for guys who have big hands and you use gloves, it makes it easier to catch the football. It's almost like catching a Nerf football, you know, having it smaller in your hand. But for a quarterback, it's all about the grip. It's all about throwing it. You see quarterbacks who wear gloves because they want to get a better grip on the football while they're throwing the football.
I'll put you out on a limb here. If, and it's still if they determine that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, for that matter, knew that this was happening and did it intentionally to gain some kind of advantage, we're 10 days from the Super Bowl, what should the NFL do and when should they do it?
I don't think they're going to do anything before the Super Bowl, but the punishment has to be very harsh on the Patriots. This is their second time around getting found guilty for cheating. And I don't know if you take a first-round pick or you find them money, because that's nothing. The Patriots don't really want to have a first-rounder anyway.
But if nothing's done before the Super Bowl, doesn't it taint the game?
It might, especially if they win the game. You know, when you win the game, because you look at the past history, everybody said, well, the Patriots haven't won a Super Bowl since Spygate. So now, if they win the Super Bowl, now you have this, you know, kind of looming over the organization.
We're talking about the game for all the wrong reasons 10 days
exactly.
out. But, Hines, it's great to have you here.
No
Thank
problem.
You very
Anytime.
Much.
Okay, couple of things wrong with that. Who can spot the errors? Who can spot the jackass? I mean, really. Come on, Hines, you're better than that. You have an axe to grind. You have a grudge from, you know,
That's being a jackass.
Thank you, Rex. Thank you. You have an axe to grind yourself. You just judge and juried the Patriots for being guilty now when you said, oh, it's cheating. You know, they've been caught twice, you know, for cheating. They're guilty. Who made you the judge and the jury, Hines? Come on, man. I understand, you know, Matt Lauer has a line of questioning that he needs to, you know, follow. And he actually tried to get Hines out of that particular situation if you followed the line of questioning. But, you know, Hines wasn't going to fall for it. You know, of course, the producers behind the scenes at NBC, and I know some of them, they're all clapping. They're all, yeah, yeah, good TV, good TV. I'm sickened. I just, you know, what respect I had for him is completely gone. All he's doing is fueling the fire. Fueling the fire. Nobody has been found guilty. And even if they are, for him to be presumptuous about it, worst case scenario, the Patriots are found guilty of having advanced knowledge and of conspiring to, you know, change things around against the rules of the game. And let's say someone gets fired or someone gets suspended for a year and, you know, they have to pay $1 million in fines or whatever it might be. Worst case scenario, right? It's still wrong for him to be presumptuous about it. To put it out there like that on national television and fuel the flames, so to speak, because all anybody's going to hear is it's cheating. And if they, even if somebody didn't know something about this particular issue, a casual fan, or maybe even a non-sports fan, and all they hear is this, they're going to think, oh, those New England Patriots. Oh, yeah, those are the cheaters. See, this is where someone like, you know, Mr. Kraft, you know, has to, and I understand why people are very, very guarded with, you know, their brand. This is why, you know, the Patriots do need to take some kind of offensive here, regardless of what happens. What's going to happen if the Patriots are exonerated? Are any of these people going to say, oh, my bad. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, well, so what? Let's play the game. Of course not.
That's what sickens me about this whole thing, number one. And number two, let me also add this. See if I can put this straight without, you know, getting tongue-tied here. You're telling me that if the Patriots are caught, Kevin, you said it very well just a second ago. What was it that you said to me about, so if they're caught and the Patriots lose
the game, it doesn't mean anything.
If
the Patriots win the game,
right,
the Super Bowl is all of a sudden tainted.
Tainted.
Because the team you didn't want to win won the game.
Won the game.
But if the Seahawks win the game, then
it's over.
It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't taint
what
it because the team you want to win won.
Right.
Which
so what,
is just stupid.
What happened to the issue of integrity? What happened to the issue of playing fair? What happened to that? It just goes away because the quote-unquote cheaters lost? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Hines Ward, you own it. Oh, by the way, you know, dude, as long as we're throwing stones here, how is that DUI going for you? That's all I'm going to say. Google it. 855-PATS-500. Because it's not fair. It's not fair. Sorry, I just stooped to his level, and I'm ashamed. But it's just not. And it's wrong. Mark in Danbury, Connecticut. You're in the playbook. Mark, you there?
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Perfect. Mark here in Danbury, New Hampshire. I just want you to consider, and everyone to consider one thing, and that's this. If you fill up a football in a very warm room, or a warm room, or just a normal room temperature, and you take it out into a very cold ambient temperature, that football is going to measure lower.
Yes, we know this.
So why isn't this being brought out, and how is this?
It has been.
All right, then can you kind of fill me in, because I'm a Pats fan, and you know. All this controversy over 2 pounds. Could you know the difference over 2 pounds?
No. And that's why I
over 2 pounds.
No, and that's why last night on ESPN I'm watching Mark Brunell, who I also think is another chucklehead, you know, throw the football around to Jerome Bettis, and they're saying, okay, we're going to give three balls. These guys don't know what they are. We're going to show you on screen which one is unfilled and which one is overfilled and blah. And we're going to let these guys see if they can tell the difference. Well, naturally they're going to tell the difference. They've been playing pro football for how many years? For God's sake, how many footballs do you think they've thrown and handled and caught and run with and kicked and fumbled and thrown for interceptions themselves? Of course they're going to know. They're going to be able to tell the difference. We already know this. I thought the whole thing was just an exercise in fanning the flames of the fire. That's all it is. So, you know, just go online. You'll see in almost every story there's something about PSI and what the rules are. And I got somebody that just sent me a link to a story just a short while ago via Twitter other factors changing when the air pressure changes, like seasonal changes or altitude changes. For every 10 degrees change in temperature, tire air pressure changes 1 PSI. So we had... largely, probably from the time that the balls were filled in a locker room to the time they went on the field, we had roughly 20 degrees drop in temperature.
Well, exactly. It's a well-known fact that every 1,000 feet that you rise up into the air, the barometric temperature drops, the ambient temperature drops by 4.5 degrees, which changes the density. And that also has to go, in fact, as you say, to back you up as the temperature falls. And, you know, I really like to know, were the balls measured inside first, then outside?
Yes.
I mean, this has everything to do with it.
It is correct. They do that, and so that's part of the problem here. You know, the NFL still has not completed its investigation on this, which is why we've been begging for that to actually happen, Mark.
Well, this
and
is ridiculous.
Well, yes, it is. It is absolutely ridiculous. And the NFL is just kind of hang on a second, Mark. He's not listening. What I'm trying to get to here is that this isn't so much an issue of the tire or the air pressure or anything else, okay? This has now become a story about, you know, truth-telling and integrity and persecution and what's fair and how to report a story like this and what's unfair. The football air pressure had nothing to do with winning or losing. Zero. And anybody that says it did is just, they're wrong, okay? They're wrong. Now, would a football that would be easier to grip theoretically be easier for a quarterback to throw? Yes. Would a football that would be easier to grip theoretically be more be easier for a running back to hold on to? Yes, I will certainly even allow for that. Maybe harder for a defender to punch out of someone's arms? Possibly. But, you know, unless you're going to actually do the science on it, no. I think actually ESPN did a pretty good sports science things with that dude John Brinkus about that a couple of days ago. So, you know, look, it's gotten beyond the whole, you know, pressure of the football thing. Now it's all about, you know, all right, what really was right and what was wrong. And if Bill Belichick, who said earlier today here that he had no idea what was going on, he wasn't made aware of it until Monday morning, then, you know, I have a tendency to believe him. I've really got no – I mean, I realize that we all think that Bill has iron-fisted control over every aspect of this team and organization. Truth be known, he lets people do what, folks? What's the three-word slogan that this franchise has basically built this entire season around? Do your job. And I think he lets people do their job. That's what I think. And maybe somebody didn't do their job well enough. Maybe somebody didn't do their job at all. Maybe somebody did a job that they weren't supposed to do. I hope that we find out the truth. I don't think we're going to get the complete truth. And maybe in another hour we can get some more light shed on this by Tom Brady. I don't know the answer to that. Mark, thank you for the phone call. Here's Trey in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Okay, bud.
Well, as the man, that was a great press conference, man. And, you know, like I said, I don't know Bill from a personal standpoint, but, I'm a sociologist, and I work with people since I was 24 years old. I mean, over 10 years ago. Now I'm 34. So, and what I could feel the sincerity, you know, of coming from this guy. So, and my thing is, you know, regardless of what Bill say or said, when people don't like you, when people are jealous of you, they're not going to believe you. So, I mean, you know, my thing is, hey, I'm a Patriots fan. I'm a PFW fan. I'm a Playbook fan. I'm a Bob Sosa fan. So, hey, I'm behind this organization. I'm behind Bill Belichick. I'm behind Tom Brady. So, you know, my thing is, If Tom's press conference is going to say a lot, it's going to tell the tale. And I really feel that after today, we're going to be able to move on and focus on the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So, and all this Hines Ward crap, man, Hines is still upset because they had their luggage packed in the AFC Championship game as if they were going to advance to the Super Bowl. And they didn't make it.
Right.
So, he's still upset.
Right.
And all these other, like, Shaughnessy and all those dudes. I mean, man, you know, I'm like you, man. You know, some people are just ignorant.
No, some people trade just like to, you know, they like to be, you know, bleepsterers. You know what I'm saying? That's what they do. That's their job. Dan Shaughnessy, you know, he's written books. I think he's a very entertaining writer. But sometimes he writes, you know, bleep. And he does it because that's his job. That's his job as a curmudgeon. That's what he's supposed to do. And he does it very well. But sometimes some of it is needless. He's just taking advantage of a situation, and the flames to the fire are being fueled here. When really it needs to die out. Because nobody, you're talking about people's livelihoods that are getting messed with now, people's reputations that are going to be, you know, destroyed.
Right. If you listen to Bill, man, he has a little tremble in his voice, man, because I can imagine, man, it is taking an emotional toll on him. I can imagine. I mean, you know, man, you know, you got people, you know, putting the ashes by everything you've accomplished, everything. And my thing is this, John, you know, man, everybody deserves a second chance, man. I mean, so this Spygate crap, man, I've been so over that. I was over there after a week, you know, that it happened. I mean, so like I said, John, man, you know, hopefully, you know, after this press conference at 2:45, I mean, we're 3:45, you know, man, hopefully, you know, we have a little bit more info, man, and we can just focus on the Super Bowl.
That's,
you know, man, have a good one.
That's what I am hoping for, Trey, and I've just been told that Tom will now address the media between 4:15 and 4:30 Eastern time. So it's been pushed back a bit. No word why it's been pushed back a bit, but we've been told it will now be between 4:15 and 4:30. So what I'm going to suggest to you is that you still want to keep it here because you'll have the fantasy football focus guys coming on at 4 o'clock. And, Kev, I would assume those guys wouldn't mind stepping aside. You know, when Tom Brady's ready to step up to the podium, then we'll still have it for you here on Patriots.com radio. So that needs to happen, and we'll let Kevin talk to the guys about that Bill and Dan, and about that a little bit later on. But so plan on between 4:15 and 4:30. What it tells me is that it's a fluid situation. It could happen at any time. Hopefully we get some answers here in fairly short order. Justin in Virginia, up next in the playbook. Hi, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, John? What I predict to have gone on with this whole deflate game thing is, first, that the Patriots, I think they typically ride the fine line with the ball weight, having it just inflated enough to be at the limit, but they often, I could imagine, have underflated them. And I would guess that the Colts keep theirs at a whatever weight Luck and his offense would prefer, which is probably heavier than ours. And I think the Colts probably for a while have known that the Patriots like to keep their balls somewhere at the line or somewhere below that line. And I'm not saying this is an excuse, because the team so scrutinized for Spygate shouldn't be trying to cut corners. And I think they should be trying harder to avoid situations like this. But it'll come off like an excuse. But I'm saying that I think the refs typically turn a blind eye.
Yes, they do.
So minuscule like this.
Yes, they do. That is true. That is true.
And I think a lot of teams typically turn a blind eye to things like this. Because honestly, I think a lot of teams are doing it. That's an excuse, but I think a lot of teams are doing it. And I think a lot of teams would be hypocritical to, like, come after. And this isn't an attack of the Colts either. But I'm just saying, I think a lot of teams don't bring it up because of the fact that I think it would be hypocritical to talk about it. Because if more people had this brought to light and more teams had this brought to light, more penalties and harshness would be made of it. And I think the game would be less fun for those playing and less convenient for those playing. But what I think is the case is that the Colts don't do it typically as much as most teams. And I think they may have gone into this game knowing that the Patriots were going to have their balls much lighter than theirs. And when Nicole Jackson got his hands on one of the Patriots, he said that, like, not even just to embarrass the Patriots, but maybe to just, like, level the playing field, just to, like, because I know they probably didn't feel very confident about this game, but I feel like they maybe tried to take that slight advantage away from the Patriots. Like, not trying to embarrass us, but, like,
well,
take that advantage away from the Patriots.
Anything's possible. I heard another theory this morning that actually made my nose hairs curl just a little bit. You want to hear it?
Yep.
You know that the Patriots sort of embarrassed John Harbaugh and the Ravens a couple of weeks ago, you know, with the whole unbalanced line thing, and he had to slow the game down, and ostensibly he said because he was afraid the referees weren't going to be in position to properly officiate. You remember that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a good rumor going around today that it might have been Harbaugh that tipped off Chuck Pagano to look out for underinflated balls.
That's a very great rumor, and it plays into my thing.
Yeah.
I think they're doing it a lot. I think the Patriots are doing it a lot. But I think a lot of teams are doing it a lot.
So,
and I think that's the elephant in the room that every team goes in with.
Yes, and this is what it is. This is all about gamesmanship, and this is all about, all right, you want to one-up me? Here, suck on this. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. It's nothing but a pissing match is all it is. And it, you know, and these are just boys being boys, and it's gotten out of hand. And so that's why the argument that I made yesterday is that this isn't about integrity. This is about maturity. That's exactly what this is. This is all about a bunch of grown men trying to gain advantage, albeit an advantage in a very in a game that produces a lot of money, which is why this whole thing has gotten out of hand to begin with. But that's what these guys are doing to each other. They're trying to gain an advantage, and they're pushing the envelope, and admittedly the Patriots do that as well as anybody. That cannot be denied. But when you step over the line once, like you've done previously, and for all the other things that I mentioned that the Patriots have found themselves embroiled in over the years, and so now, you know, something like this props up, immediately people are going to think, oh, you're stepping over the line again. You know, oh, you're cheating again. And whether it's fair or not, the Patriots kind of brought this on themselves. All I'm saying is that you need to treat every instance as an individual case, and I don't think that that's possible anymore. And so Bill himself even addressed this morning. He said, this means that we need to go in there and overinflate our balls and get off of the 12.5 PSI mark, then that's what we'll do. And I'm paraphrasing. And if you didn't hear what Bill said this morning, we will play that for you coming up within the next hour. And that way you can get caught up on everything. So, again, you want to keep it right here. And we'll have the information for you, and we'll have Tom Brady's press conference this afternoon for you. All I'm saying is that, you know, you're right, and you make a very good point. And thank you for the phone call, Justin. You make a very good point. They got to expect it's coming. And because of their past transgressions, that people are always going to take shots. And that's true. And that's kind of what Shaughnessy was even talking about today in his article. If you hadn't seen it, hadn't read it, you know, love to know your thoughts. But he's saying that, you know, the image is tarnished forever. Well, I don't necessarily know about that. I think if the Patriots win this Super Bowl one way or the other, if they manage to win this game, a lot of that tarnish is going to come back to shine. It may be tarnished in his eyes or other eyes, but I don't think so in most of the Patriots' eyes. And frankly, I don't think so most in the NFL. You got to realize this is only a very loud, I believe, vocal minority. I think most fans understand what's what here. I think most fans understand that quarterbacks like to scuff footballs. I like to gain a little bit of an advantage. If they know the football is going to be wet, hell, you'd probably do the same thing yourself. I think people understand that sometimes, you know, you hear the old adage, well, you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Well, I don't think it's gone quite that far, but I understand the thought process behind that. That means giving full effort. That means leaving no stone unturned. That means doing everything you can within legal bounds to win a football game. And because there is a lot of money and there's a lot of stake on it and there's legacy at stake and history at stake and all this other stuff at stake, yeah, you're going to try real hard. You're going to do whatever you can to put yourself in the best position to win the game. But I don't think something as inane as 2 pounds of pressure, air pressure, in a football is going to make a big difference in a football game, especially one that was 45-7. That's just stupid. You've got to use your head on that. All right, going to take a quick timeout. We'll get as many phone calls as we can get in. Is Russell still joining us today? Russell Baxter is going to join us, pro football guru. He will be in the playbook. And then we'll hear from Bill Belichick, the latter part of the 3 o'clock hour, Tom Brady, just after 4 p.m. right here inside the playbook.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54, Sweat Lodge 12. Are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
It isn't time to go inside the playbook with the guru, Russell Baxter. I just, you know, here's the problem that I'm having, Russell, today. We try to go around the NFL with you, as our young man from the scout troop says. We have to wait another week before a game is to be played, and the only thing that's going on in the NFL right now is this stupid Deflategate thing. And so I'm kind of wondering how you look at this entire story and this circus as it is played out this week.
Well, before we get started on that, and I'm going to take a little – have a little levity here for a second, but not really.
Okay.
I'm not making light of anything because this has nothing to do. But as you guys will recall, when last time we did Game Show,
yeah,
I promised two gentlemen T-shirts.
Yes.
I finally got the T-shirts in, so they're being mailed today.
Okay, good. So
okay?
If they're listening, they understand packages in the mail.
Yes. Well yes, as the old check in the mail. But
yes.
I figure since I have some T-shirts.
Yeah.
It's a week where we're not talking intensely about a ton of games.
Right.
I'm going to test your listening hood This is the eighth appearance of the by the Patriots in the Super Bowl, correct?
Yes, it is.
It is ties the record by the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys for the most in Super Bowl history.
Yes, it does.
Okay. So the next eight people to follow me on Twitter for the first time, Bax Football Guru, all eight of you will get T-shirts.
How about that?
Oh. New floor, and I'll follow you back, and I'll DM you, and you can send me all the information. We'll get them out some next week. So eight is the magic number. The next eight new followers of Bax Football Guru on Twitter will get ProFootballGuru.com T-shirts.
That's sweet. See, what a good egg you are. That's outstanding.
Well, we might as well listen. I know
you just inflated my spirits, Russell.
A subject that's a little sensitive with a lot of people, which you would have never thought a subject like this is. But I understand the passion of fans all over the place. And I'll say this first off. It shows you the meteoric rise of this franchise over the last decade and a half.
No kidding, huh?
Because you would not have – I said to somebody yesterday that this situation on its own is a totally different deal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sitting on its own, John, the only other franchise I could see being absolutely rifled for this on standing on its own would be the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the – we all love the Cowboys. We all hate the Cowboys. So that should tell you something about the status of the New England Patriots, which I always continue to insist is a reigning dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
And they continue to prove me right because they're back in the Super Bowl again. That being said, unfortunately, anytime there's any hint of indiscretion by the Patriots, and even going back to last week with the, which I thought was the hidden ball trick for the Bad News Bears in breaking training, the ineligible receiver slash eligible receiver going over to the referee. I mean, if you really think about it, it's kind of brilliant about what Shane Vereen did. Because I was talking to a former player, the natural instinct of a player, a defensive player, to watch an offensive player go over to the official and tell him he is eligible, right?
Okay.
Without even listening to the call. If you're watching and you're paying attention, hey, Shane Vereen just went over and talked to the official. He must be eligible. Okay?
Right.
So it's the hidden ball trick. Remember the hidden ball trick in the Bad News Bears sequel, right?
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. It's the same thing. So people will use that against this. But to me, I'm keeping a very open mind until I get more explanation, more fact, more this, more that. But everybody will always go back to Spygate, fair or unfair. And lumped. I mean, I saw some people throwing in Mark Henderson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was that comparison was made yesterday. Mark Henderson and the snowplow game in '82, and I'm like, oh my goodness gracious, we are really reaching back now.
They didn't. First off, there was no rule broken. Correct?
No.
There was no rule broken when that happened, and I find it ironic that people brought that up because that involved, as you know, the New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
A 3-0 game, Mark Henderson. There's a bunch of us who know who Mark Henderson is, the name of the snowplow driver. And don't you find it ironic that later in the year there was a rule broken, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think, you know, like yeah. Yeah.
Miami, aren't you supposed to cover the field?
Yes, that's right. Oh, I'd forgotten about that.
Oh, see, but I didn't forget about that.
No, that's why you are the guru.
Well, I just find it ironic that I used to hear a lot of Dolphin fans talk about that, and yet that was not a broken rule. It was, you know, brilliant. And this is how you come up with rules, okay? This is how you come up with rules. For people who don't know what we're talking about, the AFC Championship game, which most Jet fans like to call the A.J. Dewey game, because he just baffled Richard Todd in that game, picked him off three times, was played kind of almost in the mud because the Orange Bowl was not covered.
Right.
The night before the game, and if you remember, Freeman yeah. McNeil was a hell of a running back.
Yes,
and
yes.
A hell of a playoff run.
Freeman McNeil, yeah, right.
Freeman McNeil. I mean, Freeman McNeil was a good back. He did it for a short time. And, you know, one of the Jets' better players back then. So that actually kind of was a broken rule. But I don't want to get too sidetracked, but when I read the Mark Henderson thing, I said, my good, I mean, how many, you want to go back to the, you know, the Revolutionary War and find any, you know, Benedict Arnold, wasn't he a patriot?
Yes, he was. That's funny. I made that same analogy earlier about Benedict Arnold being a patriot. And I'm like,
oh my God, here we go.
And
I mean, okay, but I also don't want to make light because I want to hear the facts. I understand that Kevin told me. Tom Brady's press conference has been pushed back. We've already heard from Bill Belichick. Let's get to the bottom of this thing before, you know, you know, it's funny. We give criminals more benefit of the doubt in terms of guilt or not guilty than we do sports figures. Right. We automatically think our sports figures are doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying there wasn't anything wrong done. Something, as I said earlier this week, as Ricky Ricardo would say to Lucy, somebody got some splaining to do.
That's right.
Okay?
That's
but
right.
I don't know what that splaining is yet. And I've been asked, you know, lots of times. But I understand. I certainly understand when you start. Listen, it's like an old story, and I bring this up because, you know, as you know, a couple of weeks ago we lost Stuart Scott, who I worked with for a long time at ESPN. And I remember being out with him one night, and he reminded me of a story that my mother used to say to me or told me one day. I walked in the house, and within 15 minutes I had several debates, I'll be politely, with family members. And my mother looked at me and says, Russell, I need to ask you a question. And by the way, God bless Stuart, who's now up there with my mom and probably eating her lasagna.
Probably.
Yeah. And she goes, Russell, I just want to point out the fact that you had an argument with your father, you had a disagreement with your sister, and you had an argument with your brother. Notice any coincidence?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she just put it like that.
Yeah.
And see, and that's where the rub is here, and that's the thing. So let's wait till it all pans out. Let's see what happens. If something wrong was done, something wrong was done. And who is responsible? I don't know when we're going to find out. I think it would behoove the National Football League to make a statement sooner than later. And, you know, they've already kind of come out. But there's been no official statement yet. But Tom Brady's going to address this. It got Bill Belichick, during his press conference today, made it sound like this was more about Tom Brady than himself. So I just want to see. I've said this before. The problem with knee-jerk reactions is the word jerk.
Yeah, that's a great point, and that's a wonderful analogy, because that's all I've been preaching for the last couple of days. And I appreciate you're saying this, because I did not prompt you to say this, but I'm glad that somebody else out there feels the same way that I do. And the media, most of the media, should absolutely be ashamed of the way that they have done this. Now, of course, the reaction that we would get on this, Russ, would be, well, what else should we do? What else could we do? And the answer to that is, well, how about just reporting the facts as they are without fanning the flames and writing opinion pieces that cause people to go off the deep end? And we've seen that in the local papers, on local talk radio here. We've seen, you know, guys, and I just played a cut from Hines Ward, the former Steeler wide receiver. He was on the Today Show this morning with Matt Lauer, who out and out accused the Patriots of cheating. He just said the Patriots are cheaters. They're guilty of cheating. This is his quote. They're guilty of cheating, caught twice. And I'm like, oh, when did this happen? I didn't hear this. When did this news happen? He's not a member of the news media. And shame on the Today Show. Shame on the Today Show for putting him on the air. He's not a member of the news media. He has an axe to grind from back in 2001 when the Patriots beat the Steelers. And oh, by the way, this is a team that he played on that's had all kinds of PED problems in the past. And half of that team, I think, might be dead by now because of it.
Yeah, there is. There, you know what it is? You know, it's funny. Obviously, you know, I just promoted my Twitter account. I enjoy Twitter.
Yes.
But as I tell people when I say, you know, you should go on Twitter. I said, see, the misnomer about Twitter is that you think you have to tweet. Okay?
Right.
And I tell people, I told my youngest brother, who's a big fantasy football addict, and I said, Joseph, just follow 5 or 6 accounts. Okay? It's like having a newswire in your hand. Follow ESPN. Follow Yahoo. Follow, you know, NFL.com. You know, there's 3 shameless plugs right there. he was already following Pro Football Guru, so we don't have to get into that. But that doesn't mean you have to respond to the information that's out there. And I think to a degree now there are some people in our field, and, you know, and listen, and there are also some people who are not in our field who think they are in our field.
Correct.
And there are millions of people on this case, okay?
Right.
Millions of investigators.
Sure.
And I think people feel obligated in some ways because if they don't get it out there right away, it's like they're slacking and they're not doing their job. Just, I always just, when stuff like this happens, I'm very simple about it. This was my child, my wife, my brother, my sister, myself. You know, why are we so anxious?
Yeah.
You know, and listen, I had some fun with it this week. If you read some of my tweets,
yes.
But you know, we have to deal with you. What did I think? One of them was, you know, gas prices just went down, and now the NFL has to deal with inflation.
Yeah. Right.
Okay,
right.
But that's not accusatory. That's a play on words. Okay, that's a play on words, making light of a situation. And frankly, I mean, I'm trying to think if when I worked at ESPN, if we didn't even do pieces on doctoring the balls, you know, the stories of, you know, kickers throwing them in dryers and all that stuff. Again, the way it was presented, and I don't know, if they did something wrong, we're going to find out about it. I think if we learn anything about the NFL, that they're not sleeping on anything anymore, okay? And unfortunately, you know, it was funny, is during the regular season, John, mm-hmm. It was a troubling off-the-field season.
Yes, it was.
And during this postseason, because of this, whatever it is, the Dallas controversy, the Dez Bryant thing, it's been a troubling postseason on the field. And it's been bizarro world, you know, for a game I love and a game that most of us love. And I would hate to see, you know, this has got to be one of the most anticipated Super Bowl matchups in a long time. Okay, because this is strength on strength. Two franchises, I mean, you've got a team trying to repeat against the perennial dynasty right now. And I hate to see anything, you know, just kind of take away from it. Again, if the Patriots have done something wrong, then we should know about it soon and let's deal with it soon. But please, please, I mean, I just wish people would, you know, and I know, you know, and I can hear people who are listening to me right now and probably listening to you this week. Obviously, we're on Patriots.com radio. So it sounds like we're a sounding board for the franchise. That couldn't be further from the truth. Anybody who knows me, at least, and I know you.
And if they've known, or they've listened to this program for 14 years, they understand that's not the case.
Yeah, but, and the same goes with you, John. Your reputation exceeds mine by a lot.
No, not quite, but thank you for saying so.
But I mean, we enjoy what we do. We never want to see anything that just kind of, you know, takes away from the game and so on. But we also know what fair is fair. And it's, you know, this an automatic indictment. I mean, I had people tweeting me stuff that Bill Belichick should be banned from the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. And people, you know, said that he should be fired, should be suspended for years, should be kicked out of the NFL. I've heard all of it and seen all of it. I'm like, where is all this venom and hatred coming from?
Well, it comes from resentment of the team, and that's why I said the Cowboys, okay? You know, there's a handful of franchises in the NFL, as there are a handful of franchises in other sports, that are love them and hate them.
Sure. We understand that. We get that. It comes with the territory. Right.
I'll give you a perfect example that a team that has become, you know, horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And in our life, early in our lifetime, it was one of the premier franchises. And don't think there are millions of fans who enjoy watching the Oakland Raiders fall on their face for more than a decade now.
Right.
There just are. Okay? As soon as the Cowboys lost to Green Bay, oh, Tony Romo can't get it done. We worry more about teams losing than we do winning anymore.
Right.
Okay? I understand the bad guy and the good guy. But can we find out, at least in this instance, if there truly is a bad guy?
Yeah.
That's all I would like to say.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
You know? I mean, I tell people when we get off on these tangents, looking for a private investigator? There are millions of them on Twitter right now.
Yeah. Can't we get somebody to take the gig? That's actually a good point.
Actually, one of my favorites is watching a game, and this happened with, I can't remember if it was Jameis Winston or somebody like a year and a half ago, where they, you know, they got dinged, and automatically, oh my goodness, torn ACL, blah, blah, blah. And I remember sending out on Twitter, looking for a doctor. There are thousands of them on Twitter right now.
Right. That's true.
I'm amazed. You know, I know I've been in the hospital. I've seen an X-ray machine, but I've never seen anybody, you know, been diagnosed via TV.
No.
So that's
true.
What I'm saying. Find out what this is, and we're going to find out what it is, because I would think the NFL would like to know what it is either by today or tomorrow, so it doesn't get in the way of the Pro Bowl. And now I can hear people saying, well, who cares about the Pro Bowl?
Right.
More people than you think.
Right, exactly.
About the Pro Bowl.
Sure.
The NFL cares about the Pro Bowl, and this is it's still football season, so we want to enjoy this. But I will also say this. If there was something wrong done by the franchise, my only question this is, if this is constituted as cheating, and again, we don't know. I know I have to keep on saying that.
Right.
Would they be treated like a player who was a second-time offender?
Interesting point.
That's what I would want to – let's say it's Bill Belichick. Okay? Let's just say – I'm not saying it is. You know, I don't think I've ever had to preface this many things in my life.
Right.
But if you don't, people jump on it. Let's say Bill Belichick is responsible. Would he be treated like a player with a second-time offense? Would he, instead of getting fined $500,000, be suspended 2 games, 4 games, 8 games, something like that? I don't know, but I would think that in the walls of justice, if that was the case, I could see where players would be upset. If I said the same thing about Jim Irsay, what if Jim Irsay had another incident where he, you know, had a problem.
Sure.
Without going game. That would be the second time. He's already been suspended once. Would Roger Goodell go back and say, same thing with the executives who have been suspended and so on.
Right.
So that's the only thing I want to know. But more important, I think we all want to know, although some of you out there know everything.
Yes, we do.
What went on here? And, and let's get to the bottom of it.
We don't. And that's kind of where I was getting ready to go with that. Do you recall anything else in NFL history that even comes remotely close to this type of a witch hunt that's gone on over the last 24 to 48 hours?
No. I remember, there was always, what was it, around the Super Bowl 1 year when they were talking about gambling or something like that. And, no, I can't. I can't because the stuff that went on and the gamesmanship that used to go on and so on was handled very – listen, I'm sure there's a faction of reporters and writers and players out there that are probably having a good giggle about this.
I'm sure.
Okay? But I can't think of – unfortunately, trying to compare today to even 5 years ago, news cycle – reporting is almost impossible. It's almost impossible because it seems like I know things about people and I don't even know these people.
Right. Right. It's a 24-hour news cycle.
They're a country at peeping Tom.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. We are a country at peeping Tom, number one, and it's a 24-hour news cycle. There isn't any more, rush to, make the 11 o'clock news or rush to make the 4 a.m. edition of the newspaper. Those days are gone. And because of that rush and because of the news cycle that's out there, these news organizations, and some of them are not news organizations, like TMZ, for instance, but because there's so much competition out there to be first, accuracy has totally and completely flown the coop. And it's done nothing but fuel, the fire for, people to try to fan the flames and make a couple of bucks off of, and the whole thing just is very distasteful. And it's really one of the most difficult things it's one of the most difficult things to not get caught up in. Because we all get caught up in it to an extent, and I get caught up in it so much this week. In fact, last night, I finally just said, that's it. I need to take a step back from this because this is ridiculous.
Well, yeah, you do. You absolutely do. And it kind of amazes me to see how people react the way they react. as if they're, you know, can I, why does everybody want to be Dewey defeats Truman?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer to that is. I don't know why there's such a rush to be first. There should be more of a rush to be accurate. You know, and I've had to deal with this, you know, in my own professional career, more so over the last 2 or 3 years in this digital age that we live in. And frankly, I found the whole thing distasteful, you know, because I'm trained and always have been trained to be a journalist, which means I've got sources that I need to check. I've got stories that I need to follow up on. I've got research, scads of research that I need to do. And yet I'm not afforded the time to do it because, you know, we're not getting clicks or we're not getting audience or we're not getting, you know, people to pay attention in some form or fashion. And it's just, it's like, you know, I'm not going to give up on the industry that taught me to be who I am. And I'm still, by the way, doing it at a decent level. I'm still doing it 35 years later, now 37 years later.
Right. No, hey, John, your work speaks for itself. By the way, you wonder why I preface things the way I preface, okay? So... We'll have a little fun here. I just got a tweet from, where is it? Let's see. I have to read. I got a tweet from at the DRKKNGHT.
Okay.
I guess it's, his name is Tyler, the Dark Knight.
Okay.
Now, remember the contest I just had?
Yes.
Hating on us current followers.
Hating on his or yours?
Back's football guru hating on us current followers. In other words.
Oh, I got it. I just got that. Yeah, I just got that. Yeah, I think he's saying that in regards to, well, he's a current follower, but he doesn't get a T-shirt.
Right, right. Which, by the way, if you think I've given out 36,000 T-shirts.
You're crazy.
Yeah, well, I'll leave that up to your friends. By the way, for basically a year now, people can buy T-shirts and donate money to the American Cancer Society. Feel free if you want to do that. But safe to say, I just got a ton of new followers. Thank you very, very much.
Excellent.
To everybody out there, I will be getting to you one by one after I'm done with John and getting caught up.
I wish I wish it was that easy for me to get followers. I mean, you know, it's not.
You know why you're not getting any? Because you're not giving away anything, Rook.
Yeah, that's true.
Listen,
Russ has got the goods.
That's true. That's true.
Instead of T-shirts, we should get...
My career is now with Bleacher Report and, you know, I'm now serving as an editor and a writer for NFL Spin Zone, which is part of Fansided. You know, my career now is more social media and writing than anything else.
And mine is sort of morphed that way as well, so I guess I got to start giving out free T-shirts.
Well, listen.
You give out free rugs.
We've already won back, and I talked to my man at Cheshire Sports, who did a great job helping me out this year. We're going to be coming out with a kind of a new design and new colors next year. So
nice, nice, good. That's excellent. I'm glad to hear
that. I mean, the response is. I mean, I got to go a lot back and look and see how many, John. And I'm not saying this. Just to say it, but I can't tell you how many times I get tweets from people all across the country that listen to this show.
That's cool. That's really cool to know. And I think that I think
a day later or whatever, but you know, from Colorado to different parts across the country, the Patriot family, obviously very, very strong, but for people out there, you know, who have, you know, figured out every case, you know, not everything is a conspiracy theory. Let's just hold our horses and see what this is and try to enjoy the next week and a half because it's the last football games we're going to have for a while.
Agreed. By the way, our boy Tyler, the Dark Knight, he just tweeted, I'm just having a little fun, #Fungate.
Fungate. Now, see, that's a good response.
See?
You know what? That's a great response.
See?
You know what, Tyler?
What's
for showing some levity,
yeah.
I will send you a T-shirt.
Hey, see, Tyler, you just won. See, sometimes it just takes a little smarts, right? That's all it takes.
Well, if you don't take yourself too seriously, you're in my ballpark, okay?
Right.
You know?
That's right.
And by the way, Tyler, I hope you've kept an open mind about this whole situation, but... You know, I'll leave on this note as far as this topic, if that's where you want to leave it.
Absolutely.
I certainly understand the passion of the Patriots fans because I think they felt, and listen, there's a lot of pride with what the, you know, just like the Niner fans from the 80s and most of the 90s, I think we forget how long their run was. And there's almost a sense of having to defend your team when you continually see little tweaks like this. And, you know, it's kind of a buzzkill as we get ready for another Super Bowl. Yeah. And, again, I think this is one of the most anticipated Super Bowls in recent memory. We've had fun matchups with the wild cards and, you know, the Patriots against the Giants, an undefeated team. But I have to think about two teams, not just number one seeds, but two teams coming into the game playing as well as both these teams are playing.
Right.
I ignore the Patriots' loss to the Bills at the end of the year because they were resting people. But isn't it funny, and I sent this out last week because I don't think people realize the Final Four. And for people who I've worked with and kid me about if the season ended today, boy, do you realize the Final Four last week featured an 0-2 team, a 1-2 team, a 2-2 team, and a 3-3 team?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
the
that's
Colts
correct.
Would become the fifth team in NFL history to reach the Super Bowl, you know, in 2.
Right, right.
Okay,
absolutely.
The Packers were 1-2, were told their fans to relax, and were in the NFC title game.
Right.
The Patriots were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs after the Chiefs lost.
Right, at 2-2, right.
Right, and people forget that Seattle went real quick to 3-3 after consecutive losses to Dallas and St. Louis.
That's correct.
And suddenly they were in trouble. So that's why they play out the whole season.
And we love that.
You know, let's see what happens and you know, whatever. John, if you have to come on and talk about this again, opposed from our regular time, you let me know. I'll be glad to chime in.
Thank you, sir. And next week, on the eve of the actual game itself, let's promise ourselves we can do nothing but talk about the actual game.
Oh, I think that would be a great idea, and we will. But as you know, we will also talk a little Super Bowl history, which always makes it fun.
Love it.
And guess what? I'll do it next week, but I'll throw out one stat just for people to think about.
Okay.
That concern. It's my favorite Super Bowl stat, and yep. I'll be curious to see how this turned. I know what Seattle did last week in terms of turning over the football, but as you know, New England and Green Bay tied for the fewest turnovers in the league this year.
Yes.
With 13.
Yes.
And Seattle was right behind them with 14. And just as a reminder to people of what turnovers mean in a Super Bowl, there have been 48 Super Bowls. The 48 winners have turned over the ball only 52 times.
That's a great number.
The 48 losing teams have turned over the ball 151 times.
That's awesome. So it's a 3-1 ratio. 3-1 ratio.
Yes, plus 99.
Wow.
Just keep that in mind, and we'll talk next week, obviously, but there's just one Super Bowl stat, and we'll have some fun with some of the other ones as well. John, it's always good to talk to you because calmer heads eventually do prevail.
I hope you're correct.
Well, here's the problem, though. Even if found here in this day and age, if the Patriots are found guilty of something, there will be people who say the NFL has blah, blah, blah. And if they're found not guilty of something, the people will say the NFL has blah, blah, blah because, you know, Roger Goodell likes Robert Kraft. I mean, it's not going to end, even if we get a solution.
Yeah, that's true.
Because there's still a lot of people out there who know everything.
That's true.
And people who know everything, I leave you with this. Please send me this week's Powerball number.
Yeah, don't we all need that? Russell, you the man. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Pro Bowl. You might be the one person that does, and we'll talk next week.
Oh, well, listen, as I told people many times, it didn't really stink going to Hawaii for ESPN.
No, I'm sure it didn't.
You know?
I'm sure it did not.
No, it was tired. Those days of getting done at 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, you got to go to the beach and the tiki bar, and that's difficult. That's difficult to do. I know. I understand.
That was tough.
Thanks, my man.
All right. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. You can hear him, see him all over the place in social media as well. And he joins us on Thursdays, every Thursday, as he has joined us here throughout the course of the football season here on the Patriots Playbook. I thank those of you who have stayed on the phones, and for those of you that couldn't stay on the phones and sent me notes in the interim, and I'm going to try to get it to as many of you as I possibly can. At 3:45, thereabouts, we're going to hear from Bill Belichick again, in case you did not hear it earlier, and then as soon as he is completed, we'll get into the fantasy football focus, and our boys then will turn it over to Tom Brady the second that he is available to the masses, and we'll get his thoughts on in the entire Deflategate issue, and we'll keep it right here on Patriots.com radio, and you'll get the very latest. In the meantime, thanks to Jeremy in Knoxville for hanging on. Jeremy, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good, Jeremy.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I've been listening. I actually, my wife and I caught a hold of your playbook yesterday for the very first time.
Well, I'm glad you sampled, and thank you for calling.
Yes, my first playbook was an hour and a half long. My whole family listened to it, and to be honest, we really took a deep listening to your position in this, and I hope that the masses get to hear you, because you really play a pivotal role in being almost like Switzerland. you really do, even though you may be right down the hall from the locker room. People may get an automatic sense of you playing one side of the fence or not, but listening to you, you're bleeding logic and you're spitting common sense. And if people really slow down and take the time and listen to what you're saying, it really does make a lot of sense. And I appreciate that as a diehard Patriots fan.
Well, Jeremy, thank you for saying that. Excuse then my laughter. I've never been compared to a country before, especially not a neutral country. And in the business of talk radio, as you probably well know, if you're neutral, you get killed from both sides of the fence.
Oh, absolutely. But it is so imperative that people in your position do take that role, whether they have their own personal insight or not. There's another quote I like to say, and especially to those who are putting the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick under the firing squad right now, stop having an opinion where you do not have any responsibility.
Yep, right.
And that also goes along to the other players. You're not on that team. You're not in that winning team. You're not involved in that circumstance.
But that's unfortunately, Jeremy, that's the pressure put on by the media to go to these people who quote-unquote know, and when these people who quote-unquote know, like Hines Ward, have an axe to grind, and it's clear that they have an axe to grind. In fact, it was almost embarrassing, you could tell, that he had an axe to grind with the Patriots. Then, I'll put it to you this way. I worked for NBC Sports Radio for a very short amount of time, for about a year or so, and then I moved on to some other things, but I got a chance to visit with Hines a couple of times on the air. And so we're joking and we're laughing before we go on the air and we do a show. And then I said, don't hold it against me, Hines, but I work for the Patriots. And he looked at me and he started chuckling. He says, okay, I promise I won't take a swing.
Wow.
And I know he was joking, and I was never once in fear of anything. Because, frankly, someone wanted to take a swing, that's great. Here's my lawyer's number. He'll give you a call. But I'm just saying, I just stop and think about what he just said for a second. And I know he was kidding. I really do. But why did he say it like that? He could have just laughed it off and said nothing. But because I said the word Patriots, clearly that struck a chord with him. So that's why I ask everyone, when you hear these former athletes who are giving their opinions, keep in mind it is an opinion, and that every opinion is agenda-driven. It doesn't make it right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I know we're running on short time, and I do want to get something, bring something. It may have already been said, and again, like I mentioned earlier, yesterday was the very first time I even knew your show existed. I don't know what rock I've been living under.
Well, you just don't search the website very well. That's all.
Working three jobs, 6 days a week, I am quite busy.
Understood.
Since my wife and I listened to you, the moment I got through the door, I'm actually still in my work uniform.
Nice.
I put you on. I've been listening to you ever since.
What did she just say?
She just, my wife's healing from surgery, and as soon as I, she's been waiting to hear you all day. As soon as 2 o'clock came on.
Tell your wife I hope she's doing much better very, very soon.
Thank you. Thank you.
And by the way, just so you know, if you miss it, we're always available in a podcast, so you can always play it back later.
Wonderful, wonderful. I think that's how we caught it last night, because we listened to it about 10 o'clock last night.
Cool. Cool.
So getting to why I wanted to call, and again, if this is something that may have already been covered, I apologize. I don't want to.
No worries.
You know,
no worries. Go ahead.
I have been born and raised in New England all my life up until I chose to move away. Patriots are in my blood, and now that I have a family here that I've created, it's in their blood as well. But being that as it may, we're not blind to the fact that, you know, the people we look up to and the people that we cheer on may be not so much coerced, but find themselves in a situation where they're human and could possibly very well make mistakes like anybody else. Now, it is a well-known fact that New England Patriots fans are not only fanatics, but they are scrutinized the most. I live that every day down here when I walk out of my house with a Patriots shirt on,
sure,
and the decal that's on my car. I get many single finger gestures. I get people looking at me funny or making comments quite often when I sport my Gronkowski jersey or my Brady jersey, so on, so have you. But, you know, I wanted to touch base on not much I have heard through all the videos I've watched, through all the podcasts and everything I've seen in the media. Not much has been mentioned regarding the Colt balls during this game or whatever, if anybody's being checked on those balls, to see if there may have been any sort of deflation that may have naturally occurred. Because I'm assuming at this point, being from New England and knowing what that weather can do and how fast and dramatically it can change things, like you referenced your car tires, I don't know if it's been brought up to anybody's attention what the status of their balls were like.
Yeah, you know, they said that everything was checked and that there's, you know, I'm kind of smoothing over here, but that theirs were apparently up to standard. Now, that's based on what I read and what I've heard.
And I can understand that.
And it may very well be, if they go with a fuller football, it has, you know, more toward the pressure limit, that even if their football was subjected to the same type of temperature that the Patriots were, that they're still going to be within the range. And I think Bill Belichick even addressed that a little bit this morning when he said, you know, they might keep their balls a little bit on the lower side, and then being under those pressure conditions that they were, that's going to take it under the legal limitation. So they've got to do a better job of inflating, and they've just got to do a better job of doing their due diligence. That's all.
You're absolutely right. And not knowing, and I'm hoping that will obviously be addressed when the NFL officials do come forth with their press conference and their findings, because it's been mentioned by, I want to call him a knucklehead, but he announced immediately that all 11 balls were exactly 2 pounds below.
Yeah.
I don't truly believe that to be the case. I believe that there's going to be specific mention, maybe exact PSI, so on, so have you. But, you know, yes, if the Colts balls were pregame already set to a higher, like towards the higher limit of the 13.5, and Patriots may have preferred them to be closer to the 12.5.
Of course.
Yes, I can clearly see why. If weather was the reason for this to happen,
right,
I can see why evenly the majority of the balls would be around the same PSI. They're
right,
exposed at the same time, so on.
Right.
But I want to say this, and this is specifically for you, because this is what you do. You are involved in the NFL heavily. You know it just about as much as the players. I want to say, with the NFL rules and how tight they are, and they cover almost every aspect and every angle, there's obviously room for, let's say, technicalities to happen. Would you not think, in a situation like this, when the NFL officials know certain teams prefer their balls to be towards the lower end, and they're going to be playing in an atmospheric condition that could possibly deflate the balls to below standard, that is something that they would already have something in place to take care of that or prevent that from happening?
You would think so, and I think that your point is well taken. You would think so, but apparently they don't have it as thoroughly, you know, vetted out as that, and my guess would be that's something that probably gets looked at, because clearly there has to be some additional adjustment to whatever rules there are governing, you know, the inflation of the footballs. And Jeremy, thank you for the call, because I'm going to try to move on to a couple of other things here. But it is a little bit stunning, and you bring up a good point. It's a little bit stunning to think that this kind of thing wouldn't already be taken care of. and that nobody would know that science can actually change this. And I really believe that there's something to, and I don't have proof, but I'm just going to say I kind of feel in my bones here that there's a little bit more to this than meets the eye. And somebody's kind of like, you know, hey, they got shown up. So, you know, or they don't like the way the Patriots do things, or they got whipped by New England or whatever. And they said, all right, hey, you know what? Do this. Check out the balls. And so they tip somebody off based on something else they experienced or got hammered with or because of. And this is just a game of cat and mouse is all it is. And we're caught up in the middle of a big, you know, it's going to sound terrible. We're caught in the middle of a big pissing match between coaches and between organizations here. And we're stuck in it, and there's really not a whole hell of a lot we can do about it until somebody comes out and says something about it. Let me get just a couple of emails in here that have caught my attention. I'm not sure. I mean, there are a bunch of them here, and I thank you for every single one of them. This one comes from Rachel, who says, another reason to not watch any type of reporting shows, it's a joke. Facts are irrelevant. It's all just opinion, speculation, and hearsay being reported is truth. It's nonsense. Even during the Boston bombings, the news being covered was just ridiculous. Interviews being given to random people who knew someone at one time in the past thought about running the marathon, but they didn't, and they're really happy. I stopped watching NFL Network and ESPN years ago because I'm interested in facts, and it's just crazy. They don't report facts. Their purpose is to tell people what to think. And sorry, I'm wiser than that. These players are coming out calling the kettle black. If the Patriots did this on purpose, they're such frauds. I actually have a lot of respect for Aaron Rodgers at this point, Luck, and the players of the Colts team that are saying they got beat by a better team, period. You would think these reporters would be seeking to speak to the players of the team this took place against, the Colts. Most of them are saying this is a non-story. That's the thing the media doesn't want. It doesn't want facts. They want to spread speculation, gossip, to get higher ratings. I'm with you, John. My response is simple. TV off. Pretty good point. Frankfort, Virginia. I understand that the NFL has its rules. Based on all I've learned the past couple of days about the air and the football, many teams in the NFL have not adhered strictly to the rule. Duh. That's exactly right. About to say, everybody's talking about scuffing the football, or, hey, I scuffed the football at one time, or, hey, I didn't like the football with a sheen on it, or, you know, I mean, even Mark Brunell, who had some bad things to say. He said, you know, he liked the football a certain way. And I'm going to guess Tom Brady may be saying close to some of the same thing. We're going to find out in just a few minutes. Frank says, I see this as a way for teams and jealous people that lose to point fingers at the Patriots, knowing that if this comes up, people are going to point to Spygate to discredit Bill Belichick and Tom Brady's accomplishments. Thanks, Eric Mangini. Really? You got a point. You actually have a point here. Oh, goodness gracious. There's a lot of stuff in here and a lot of good comments about Hines Ward and, you know, popping off and, you know, fact that he played for teams that, you know, all have questionable, histories in their own right. It's actually somewhat heartwarming to see now that we had, you know, our inbox here full of, you know, people who are saying I'm not going to be a Patriots fan any longer to people who are now saying I'm a Patriots fan for life, you know, because of the way, you know, that, you know, I feel about my team and, you know, how the Patriots are being persecuted. I mean, there are two sides to every story. There are, you know, we don't know yet all of the facts. We hope that we get a little closer to that here in just a few minutes. I'll make a personal promise here that next week when we bring the playbook back next week, and we'll be back next week to lead up the Super Bowl, the PFW guys are going out to Arizona, and they'll be broadcasting, you know, from the Patriots team headquarters in Glendale or thereabouts. And I'm going to be here at Gillette Stadium holding down the fort. So we're going to kind of go back and forth with it a little bit. And we're going to talk some football. And we're going to talk about the matchups. And we're going to talk to some Seattle folks. And we'll talk to some folks in Arizona. And we're going to talk to you. And we're going to get your thoughts. And we're going to take your questions. And we're going to do all of that. In a way, it's been kind of funny that we've had our news cycle this entire week filled up by this controversy. And we, you know, I was beginning to wonder before this whole thing started on Monday, what the hell are we going to talk about this week? The week between the Super Bowl, you know, the game, and, you know, or normally when the Pro Bowl is played or whatever, it's crazy. It's just there's nothing to talk about. I was wondering, what are we going to talk about? We're going to have to manufacture something. We didn't have to manufacture a thing this week. This outlandish, crazy, nutty thing took on a life of its own, and we spent time talking about it, and I understand we're getting to the point where we've reached our limits. I reached my limit actually after yesterday's show, but I knew going in today that this was still going to be on everybody's mind. And so I kind of felt like there was a need to sort of put it to bed a little bit, and hopefully we can, over the course of the next couple of days, put it to bed before the team gets to Arizona. Don't be surprised if it continues. Don't be surprised if media continues to ask these questions. Don't be surprised if the Patriots continue to be vilified. Don't be surprised at anything. Don't be surprised at anything. All right, let's, in case you missed any of it at all, this is what, you know, the day started like here at Gillette with 140 or so media members here and head coach Bill Belichick.
Start out by addressing the football issue here. When I came in Monday morning, I was shocked to learn of the news reports about the footballs. I had no knowledge whatsoever of this situation until Monday morning. I would say I've learned a lot more about this process in the last 3 days than I knew or had talked about it in the last 40 years that I've coached in this league. I had no knowledge of the various steps involved in the game balls and the process that went through, that happened between when they were prepared and went to the officials and went to the game. So I've learned a lot about that. I obviously understand that each team has the opportunity to prepare the balls the way they want, give them to the officials, and the game officials either approve or disapprove the balls, and that really was the end of it for me. Until I learned a little bit more about this the last couple days. Let me just say that my personal coaching philosophy, my mentality, has always been to make things as difficult as possible for players in practice. And so with regard to footballs, I'm sure that any current or past player of mine would tell you that the balls we practice with are as bad as they can be. Wet, sticky, cold, slippery. However bad we can make them, I make them. And anytime that players complain about the quality of the balls, footballs, I make them worse, and that stops the complaint. So we never use the condition of the footballs as an excuse. We play with whatever or kick with whatever we have to use, and that's the way it is. That has never been a priority for me, and I want the players to deal with a harder situation in practice than they'll ever have to deal with in the game. And maybe that's part of our whole ball security philosophy. I'm trying to coach the team, and that's what I want to do. I think we all know that quarterbacks, kickers, specialists have certain preferences on footballs. They know a lot more about it than I do. They're a lot more sensitive to it than I am. And I hear them comment on it from time to time. But I can tell you, and they will tell you, that there is never any sympathy whatsoever from me on that subject. Zero. And Tom's personal preferences on his footballs are something that he can talk about in much better detail and information than I could possibly provide. I could tell you that in my entire coaching career, I have never talked to any player, staff member about football air pressure. That is not a subject that I have ever brought up. To me, the footballs are approved by the league and game officials pregame, and we play with what's out there. And that's the only way that I have ever thought about that. I've learned about the inflation range situation. Obviously, with our footballs being inflated to the 12.5-pound range. Any deflation would then take us under that specification limit. Knowing that now, in the future, we will certainly inflate the footballs above that low level to account for any possible change during the game. So, as an example, if a ball deflated from 13.2 to 12.9, it wouldn't matter. But if it deflated from 12.5 to 12.3, it would. So, as an example, so we will take steps in the future to make sure that we don't put ourselves in that type of potential situation again. The National Football League is investigating this situation. We have cooperated fully, quickly, and completely with every request that they have made. Continue to be cooperative in any way that we can. I have no explanation for what happened, and that's what they're looking into. So I can't comment on what they're doing. That's something that you should talk to them about. Again, my overall knowledge of football specifications, the overall process that happens on game day with the footballs is very limited. I would say that during the course of the game, honestly never, probably has happened on an incomplete pass or something, but I've never touched a game ball. That's not something that I have any familiarity with on that. And again, I was completely and totally unaware of any of this that we're talking about in the last couple days until Monday morning. So based on what I knew Sunday night, thinking back on this, which I've done several times, really can't think of anything that I would have done differently based on what I knew then, based on what I know now.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2